Chapter 2. Stan's storage wasn't exactly the sort of place where people lingered. Row after row of squatty concrete buildings with large, rusted metal doors, separated by the occasional alleyway or chain-link fence. No trees, no shrubs, not even a blade of grass poking up between the rare cracks in the pavement. It was set near a swamp, and a musty smell hung in the air. Insects made buzzing and chirping noises in the overgrown grass. Even the sun seemed not to want to linger, and it dipped behind a cloud, leaving a dim pallor over the area. With little other choice, Lexi and the ladies sat on a low retaining wall near the curb at the end of the parking area, in front of Ruth's storage unit, to wait for the authorities. Thankfully, a breeze had picked up, chasing away a swarm of tiny black bugs, two of which had already bitten Lexi. She fiddled with the box on her lap, disappointed she'd now miss her delivery time to the ladies' auxiliary luncheon. She'd always prided herself on the cup and cake's sterling reputation for quality and reliability, too. Her assistant, Cassie, was always getting on Lexi about being too hard on herself. And maybe this was another case of her making herself feel bad about circumstances beyond her control. After all, it wasn't as though she'd gotten out of bed that morning with the goal of finding a dead guy wedged beneath a car. She sighed and checked her watch. It was nearly 11 now, and the police still hadn't arrived. Their cab driver wasn't answering the phone, which was probably for the best anyway. She couldn't very well leave the scene, and given the guy's obvious discomfort after more colorful aspects of their past had come to light during the drive over, the poor man probably would have passed out if he'd seen the corpse beneath Ruth's olds. "Sorry you missed your delivery," Ida said, lifting the corner of the box's lid and trying to look inside. "I hope it isn't anything that would go bad, because if so, we might want to make sure they don't go to waste." Lexi sighed and passed the box over to her. "You might as well eat them before the filling goes bad. They were for delivery to an important client, but it doesn't look like I'll make it there on time now." "Well," Nan said, patting Lexi on the hand, "I'm sure they'll understand, under the circumstances. Solving crime should take precedence over anything else, right?" Wincing, Lexi looked away. Before, she'd always agreed with Nan's. Now, given Jack's concerns about her and the ladies' activities, she wasn't so sure anymore. The ladies each pulled napkins out of their purses, and not flimsy paper ones either. Each of them seemed to be armed with high-quality linen napkins. Helen's even had embroidery on the edges. They spread them on their laps before daintily taking a cream puff and biting into the flaky pastry as though they were at high tea and not stuck sitting in a stiflingly hot asphalt parking lot that smelled like dry grass and swamp. They each took a puff and passed the box back to Lexi. She was far too tense to eat. She passed the box back to Ida. "Oh, these are divine, my dear," Nan's mumbled around a bite of puff. "Yes," Helen agreed, dabbing a bit of vanilla cream from the corner of her mouth. "I've always said you have a real talent for the culinary arts." "Thank you," Lexi smiled, holding her hand over her eyes to shield them from the sun, while doing her best to take comfort in the fact the efforts of her labor wouldn't go to waste, at least. Sure, the ladies' auxiliary was an important civic group in Brookridge Falls, but she'd make it up to them at some point. Maybe cater the desserts for their next luncheon for free. Yes, it would bite into her bottom line, but if it saved her reputation, then it would be worth it. Decided, she changed subjects. "So, does anyone have an idea of the identity of that unfortunate man under Ruth's car?" "No clue," Ruth said after swallowing her last bite of pastry. I'd guess from his location, though, that he was trying to inspect the engine. Perhaps he's a mechanic. Maybe he wanted to give you a tune-up, Ida said, chuckling. I know a line of guys at the retirement center who'd gladly volunteer for the task. Now is not the time for jokes. Nance gave her friend a scolding look. There's a dead body in that storage unit, and the police are going to want to know how he got there. We need to figure out what we're going to tell the cops. As if on cue, sirens wailed, coming closer, and two squad cars pulled into the lot, followed by the crime scene tech van. Soon, officers swarmed the area, including Jack, who gave Lexi a funny look. Her heart sank a bit when he didn't come right over. But he had a job to do, and she wasn't in danger. Besides, judging by the way his brows were drawn down over his brown eyes when he glanced her way, she suspected he wasn't going to have anything comforting to say to her. They cordoned off Ruth's storage bay and meticulously photographed the scene before starting to remove and bag items for evidence. The ladies discarded their trash, then wandered closer to see what was happening. No one had approached them yet for their statements. Lexi exhaled with relief. That would give her time to compose herself. Lately, she'd gotten the distinct impression Jack was not thrilled by her frequent investigations with the ladies' detective club. Is that a drill? Ida asked, pointing toward a bag carried by one of the crime scene technicians. If it is, then he must have been doing something to your car, Ruth. From the blood covering the drill bit, I believe that's the murder weapon, Nan said, her gaze narrowed on the power tool. I'm no expert, though. Lexi gave her grandmother a look. Nan's might not be a sworn law enforcement officer, but she had the instincts of Sherlock Holmes. If she thought that drill was the murder weapon, then chances were good it probably was. To confirm, Lexi leaned closer as the tech walked by them toward the van. She gasped at the bright crimson streaks marring the shiny, slim drill bit. You're right. Of course I am, Nan said, winking. Now, if we could just get your stubborn husband to admit the same, we'd be all set. Before Lexi could respond, Jack turned his attention in her direction, and Lexi's heart plummeted to her toes. Jack walked over to their little group, giving his wife a disapproving stare as he approached. Yep, he wasn't happy with her at all. After nodding briefly to the ladies, he pulled Lexi aside.
I know your car's in the shop, but you should have asked me for a ride earlier. Or asked Cassie. Or even gotten a rental, instead of accepting a ride with Mona and her friends. Trouble always seems to follow whenever all of you get together.
He gave her a reproachful look.
Why didn't you say anything, honey?
Don't be silly. You're always so busy these days, I didn't want to bother you. Lexi laughed, trying to play off his concern, though she sensed his true impatience. And I did say something. I mentioned last night at dinner that I had to deliver cream puffs to the auxiliary this morning, and it seemed wasteful to rent a car just for one silly errand.
Where are your cream puffs now?
He asked, crossing his arms and casting a quick glance at the nearby trash can, where the top of the white bakery box with the Cup and Cakes logo poked out.
I can run you wherever you need to go once I'm done here.
Guilty warmth prickled Lexi's cheeks. And it had nothing to do with the sunshine. She stared down at the toes of her cute white flats. After what happened in the storage facility, then the wait for law enforcement to show up, I figured getting the delivery there on time was a long shot at best. The ladies were hungry, so I let them eat the cream puffs rather than having them go to waste.
I see.
Jack's gaze flicked to Ida, who stood watching their conversation with interest as she brushed a few stray pastry flakes from the front of her flowered top. She gave Lexi a wink, her bright blue eyes sparkling with mischief, as usual. Jack gave a long-suffering sigh and pinched the bridge of his nose between his thumb and forefinger.
Listen, please stay here while I check out the scene, and try not to get into any more trouble. Please? After I'm done, I'll give you a ride back to the bakery.
He glanced over at Nan's with the patience of a saint. His smile was polite, but Lexi didn't miss the spark of irritation in his eyes.
Would you ladies like me to arrange a ride for you back to the retirement home?
Don't be ridiculous, Nan scoffed, then pulled out her cell phone to wave in his face. I've already requested an Uber. Should be here shortly. Besides, we've spent enough time gracing the back of your police car. Don't you think?